The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Please don't take this person out. Would you politely go to hell?
Hello, everybody, and indeed, welcome into Never Not Funny. This is a little sampling of the lettered episode that we released this week. And if you want to hear the entire episode, you can head over to nevernotfunny.com and subscribe to the platinum subscription levels that we have over there for you to hear everything. But this is a nice little taste of what's happening over there behind closed doors at the platinum. So please enjoy. I may have told this before, then we'll take a break. But it's the opposite of what you were saying. When I was in on the basketball team, and by that I mean, you know, I suited up in, I guess that would be seventh grade for Our Lady of Loretto. And I did this. There was a whole story on my one-man show. But my coach was Jerry O'Connor, which was Jerry O'Connor's dad. And he couldn't be there one week, and so we had Jack Hallberg. And Jack was the coach for the guy, for the kids just slightly younger than us. So he coached my brother. Mm-hmm. And my brother, so he was in sixth grade. My brother was, of course, very good. And Jack Hallberg, the kid, was also on that team. And so this, and so Jack Hallberg filled in for Jerry O'Connor one weekend because he couldn't, who cares why? He just had to fill in for Jerry O'Connor, for Mr. O'Connor. And he brought Jack along, his kid, to be on the team. Mm-hmm. And his kid was a good player. Mm-hmm. I'll give him that. He was a good player. And better than half of us.
And he's a year younger than you?
A year younger.
Yeah.
And so, but, you know, that was the cutoff. Sixth grade was, whatever, junior, and seventh and eighth grade were the other team.
Yeah.
So he got the start before, well, certainly he was going to start before me. But it was basically this from the sidelines the entire time. Way to go, Jack. Let's go, guys. Get the fucking act together. That a boy, Jackie. Oh. Come on, you fucking guy. You got to fucking work on this. That's Jackie. Jackie, that a boy, Jackie. It was that.
That's insane.
Kissing Jackie's ass the whole time. And that's the famous time where he said in halftime how we got to get it together. Jackie's doing great. The rest of you guys got it together. And then there's guys like you, Pardo, Cusack, Pender. You're not ball players. You're only here because Mr. O'Connor had to fill out a roster.
Oh wow.
Said that to children.
What a lovely man.
And then my dad, God bless him, came to every, you know, not to every, but he came to all the ones he could, watched me again, sit on the fucking bench. And then we're walking out. In fairness, I think it was kind of like my brother's team would play early, we'd play later, so my dad would see my brother score 75 points and me sit there. And then we're walking out and we run into Jack Hallberg, and my dad's like, hey, I just want to thank you again for all the time you put in with the kids. And he goes, yeah, just like I was telling Jim, it's all about just practice. You get out there, you dribble, you know, a couple, you know, half hour a day, you do this. And then it's like, well, that ain't what you said.
That's
back
what
there.
We said.
No, that you unnecessarily humiliated me and Mike Pender and Mike Cusack. Hmm.
Did you do a take to him as he was saying that?
No,
like slow.
No, I wasn't. I was in seventh grade, so I was kind of just standing there, like
just absorbing the
yeah,
the
and just not even.
Wow.
And then maybe, and then got in the car and go, well, you know what, Dad? That's not what he said. And then my dad's like, oh, you know what? I mean, maybe, you're in the. He's in the, like, my dad tried to make excuses for him, like he's in the heat of the moment and he's in the, you know, halftime. And yeah, but that's going out of your way.
Right. It's not like you didn't play. So it's not like he was critiquing anything you did.
I think the premise was, I can't even put you three in. Like you guys are, other than Jackie, you guys are sucking. And I don't even have an option with these three clowns. And Jack Hallberg also walked around all the time with a pocket of change. And he had like his nervous tic was he would jingle that change.
Huh. Oh boy.
And it was
did he have Pac-Man fever?
I would imagine he did.
That's one of the symptoms.
Oh yeah, I would. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
he ended up being a big insurance guy in Chicago.
Hmm.
Jack Hallberg, I think his kid runs it now, but they were, you know, in a town, hometown, which was a town of poor, mm-hmm. you know, we all had 900 square feet houses. He lived on the one street just to the, I don't remember what direction this would have been, northeast or north, where it was like, oh, now there's where the rich people live.
Yeah.
And he was rich. And or at least richer than us.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was perceived as, oh, you know, Mr. he's very rich mm-hmm. compared to us. Anyhow, if I ever see him, I'll tell him to go fuck himself now, because, again, who says that to a child?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Listen, let's take a break. Leslie Liao is going to be joining us. Very funny young lady who just was on the has a new special on Netflix. And we got the I've got the con.
Yes.
For the letter game, comedy movies that begin with the letter B. And we'll do all that when we come back right after this. Guys, Shopify is something that's very, very dear and important to me, and you know that. You know that. And Matt, you're laughing because you know that I don't stop talking about Shopify off the air.
It's really, it's weird. It's like your new obsession. Like, you used to talk about, you know, Journey and Kiss all the time. Now it's just Shopify this, Shopify that.
I know, and all I can do is apologize, but I'll tell you why. It's because whether you're selling scented soaps or offering outdoor outfits, the SSS or the OOO, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, which I learned stands for point of sale, not the other thing that I've been saying.
Right. That's when you go on and on about Shopify, you sounded a little foolish because you were raving about, and then people would say, well, why is he talking about POS? Like, what?
That's yeah.
They didn't know either, and you didn't know how to tell them.
Well, no, because I was on the wrong side of history on that as well.
Yeah.
But point of sale is what POS stands for when we're talking Shopify.
I'm excited because we've set up our own Shopify account to handle our perks. You know, we were sending out T-shirts and yearbooks to our subscribers, and it's so easy. It's great. I get to, you know, assign roles to different people. Like our web guy, Jeff, he's an admin in there now, and I just, it was so easy to set him up, and then I set up our T-shirt guy. He's got an account in there. He can log in. He can do what he needs to do to get our shipping done. It's awesome.
I've been kept out of the loop on that because you're kind.
Yeah. Well, as much as you rave about it, you don't want to know about
the details.
I
don't want to know how the sausage is made. I just want to see the result.
Right.
That's what I want. And also, I don't know if illegally I can get away with this, but it's so easy to Shopify.
Well, because you were off key, I think we're legally safe.
I think I was on key for what I was doing.
We all knew what it was.
You know, I'm not doing karaoke to a backing track. It was on whatever key I was at. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/Pardo. That's all lowercase. Shopify.com/Pardo. Now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in, Shopify.com/Pardo. Shopify!
A better way to sell.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the program, episode 32. Nope, wrong. Idiot 34. I want to say 32 at the beginning of the episode as well, but it's 34 is the season that we're in, episode B, behind the platinum here. Leslie Liao has joined us. You were up in Orange County, is that correct?
I did, Orange County, California, mm-hmm. if anyone's familiar.
I think we are because of, you know, the political landscape. We certainly know about that because that's where it's very Trumpian down there.
It's a sprinkle of Trumpy.
A sprinkle?
Yeah, a dash.
Yeah. Are your parents still down there?
They're still down there. They're in the same house I was in when I was like in high school, and I go there all the time.
Do they have red hats, your parents?
They do not.
Okay. Well, unless they're Angels fans.
They can be Angels fans.
They can be Angels fans.
I just had a visual of them in MAGA hats. No, they they're not a huge fan. But I think all my of me or Trump. neither.
Neither. not a fan of either. Don't care for your comedy.
Don't
really
care. Don't they have not seen my Netflix thing.
They haven't seen the verification yet.
The streaming things confuse them. They watch a ton of YouTube. But they don't really know how to search things on YouTube. So, you know, when you watch YouTube and it has a video, the current video that's playing, it will have a list next to it of this is what's going to play next mm-hmm. based on this video. They just follow the algorithm. They don't search things actively. They just kind of let it ride. Uh-huh. So, I don't even know if they know how to use Netflix. So, no, they're good people.
How old are they? You're describing... fossils.
They're in their 70s.
Oh, so they are a little bit. Okay.
A little bit older. And I think they're just kind of like, they're like, eh. Why put an effort to figure out this thing? Yeah.
Also, in your case, we know her.
Yeah, yeah. We know her pretty well.
We've heard you talk for years now.
Like, we get it. We get her vibe.
Your story is interesting in that, well, at least your publicists think it is.
They sold it well, I hope.
Yeah, that you worked for Netflix, and then now you have a Netflix special.
Yes, now, those are facts.
Your reaction there was, okay, enough. Was that your reaction?
No, it's like I also can't believe how silly it sounds when people say it, because I never thought that would happen. It's so bizarre.
You never thought that you would make the transition from being an exec into... Were you an exec?
I was a manager of... So it was technically in HR, but Netflix is massive. So like even the HR department is like thousands of people. I don't even know. Do you guys know like at a talent agency, the mailroom?
Mm-hmm.
So I managed the Netflix version of that, where it was 30 cool Gen Z assistants at Netflix, and I would just place them wherever they needed to go at the company.
Okay.
It's kind of a made up job that like I kind of volunteered and said, hey, we should do this at this company. And someone was like, I guess. And then they just let me do it for 6 years.
Right.
Wow.
So I can't believe I never got let go. I'm shocked that I had a job the entire time, but no, I did not expect to ever be on Netflix while I worked there.
Right.
And I...
you were still working there when you... Wow.
I was working there by the time it was released. So it was released on Netflix, and I was going to my little meetings every day, going to the cafeteria, and that's when I started to get like funny stares from coworkers. Like, what is she doing here?
Yeah.
Like, everyone's like, go away. Like, you're on Netflix. It was very
awkward.
Still
have... But in fairness to you... We live in Hollywood, and people have to—that was your version of waiting tables. You have to have a day job. Just because you're on Netflix doesn't mean all of a sudden you're a millionaire. It means you're a working comedian.
100%. And the Tonight Show, like, the Tonight Show was so fun, and I didn't realize how big of a deal it was until I was, like, about to do it. And people saw me on it. And again, they would see you at the office and be confused. Like, why are you here? Aren't you a billionaire? Like, what do you think NBC paid me for that little five-minute jaunt?
Right.
I don't remember, but it wasn't enough to pay rent. Like
25, is it?
$2,500?
$25,000. No, I think it's $2,500. Right? Isn't that the minimum?
I think it was 15? Like a standard $1,000 or something.
It's whatever the minimum is. It's the same thing Tom Hanks gets. Everybody gets the same thing for showing up on a talk show.
And I would have done it for free.
Of course.
But I was like, you know, but people look at you and they're very confused. I'm like, how do you think this works? So I stayed at my day job till the second I knew I could afford to leave.
Yeah.
What's funny about that is that in theory, all the people at Netflix are in entertainment.
Right.
So they would have a leg up.
But a lot of it, while they're in entertainment, it's a lot of still, like we talk about show business, it's a lot of people that have a certificate in business.
Sure.
And they're deciding
that's true.
What is entertainment and what could be on television, what could be in movies. And they're, you know, untalented assholes that have no business making those decisions.
But on record, I love them. I just want to go on record. I appreciate everyone.
No, your former coworkers are shit.
You work with assholes.
I'm not associated with this show. Do you guys do a disclaimer at the top of this?
Well, you just did it.
Ted Sarandos, I love you so much, big guy. No idea who I am.
No, your appearance here constitutes agreement with everything we say.
Yeah. Is that the paper I signed before I walked in?
Oh, you didn't read it?
No, he was like, don't read the top part. Just sign the sign. I was like, okay. But
what if the top part did say you agreed to leave here having agreed with everything Jimmy says? All right. So you're there. Well, I mean, I was going to bring up that our friend Adam Chester is a musician in town, and he got a gig years ago where he fills in at rehearsals for Elton John. He's like, so when the band is rehearsing for back in the day, when the band rehearsed for a tour, Adam would play the piano and be Elton John. And then Elton just did his final tour, and at his final show ever at Dodger Stadium, Kiki D came out and they did Don't Go Breaking My Heart for the first time like in ages. And Adam, because Elton got up to stand and sing with her, Elton asked Adam, will you come out and play the piano during that song? So Adam got to be at Dodger Stadium playing keyboards for Elton John and Elton John's band, and then had to go to work the next day. Because he's just a dude. He's just a working musician that has a day job.
Isn't that wild?
And so he went from Dodger Stadium to, hey, can I help you? Can I show you a piano here?
Do you know what his day job was?
He sells pianos.
Wow.
Or, you know, keyboards or that sort of thing. But yeah, crazy. I mean, but that's this town. You know, it's the, you know, the movie, what is it? What's the movie with Kevin Bacon where he goes.
The Big Picture.
He goes, oh, I'm a director. It's like, oh, our chef's
is
a director.
That a, is that a comedy movie by any chance?
With the letter D.
The Big Picture?
Wait.
Oh, B.
No, B.
It's a director, so I got my head bumped.
Yo, you can't throw us like that. That doesn't count. It's B, right?
It's B. I screwed up. I don't know the alphabet.
But the
B
fact, as in boy. But the fact that he made that mistake means that's probably not the one he's thinking right. of, right?
But it is fair to say that The Big Picture would count because the...
Yeah, you can drop the you the. Drop
I was going to confirm with you guys. You the can, does you, not count.
Let me look, guys, just to be... all right, I'm going to tell you this. A very rare clue.
Oh, go. Yeah.
I did not pick Big Picture.
Okay.
Okay, very... Yeah.
That would be a
you
good
you wouldn't
one.
Have said it just now if... Yeah.
That's a funny movie.
Okay, wait. You know, it is funny. I was excluding the...
Oh, you don't have to exclude the.
Like, in my guesses, I was using titles that didn't even have the.
Then do that.
But that's fine.
I think you may or may not be taking this too seriously.
That's kind of my vibe.
Is that you?
I take everything real serious.
Oh, no. What's about to happen? We're about to take a left turn here? You don't still live down in the OC.
I live in LA.
Los Angeles.
My family's in OC, so I go there like, I'm going to go there tomorrow, but I'm in LA. But yeah, I've been in SoCal my whole life. I've always been a SoCal girl, which I think makes...
And even college, did you go locally?
I went to USC in LA, I went straight from OC to LA, and I'm glad I went there because I was still close to family, but I do now wish I went to a cool college on the East Coast, like just went somewhere else. Yeah. But I remember like driving from Orange County to LA, you know it's like the day you go to college where you have your luggage and your stuff and it's real, like you're leaving the house. I still did that, but I was only going like up the 5,
right.
You know? So it was kind of like, you know, very uncinematic, right. But I still remember bawling, crying.
Of course.
Because your life is changing.
Mm-hmm.
My parents probably weren't crying at all. They're like, yeah, see you tomorrow. Like, call us when you get there. But
well, I'll tell you this: as a father of a kid who's going to go to college in a year, he's a junior. I'm sorry,
yeah.
And he's thinking about USC.
Mm-hmm.
That is just two stops down on the train from where we live. So it's not even going up the 5. Mm-hmm. It's like, see ya. Oh, there's the train.
How does that make you feel? Do you love that they might be close?
I love that he's going to be close, but I love the idea that I can call him up on a Sunday and say, hey, let's go get some lunch
it
or something.
It is very nice, yeah.
But I will still sob as if he went across the country.
You know what? I will too, out of sympathy.
Oh, thank
I will
you.
Too.
Just very nice.
Hang on. Oh, you know what? I'll email you the day that it's happening.
Yeah.
So you can be in your house, apartment. I don't know.
2020. It'll be like September 2025. Look for that email.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Send me a calendar invite.
We may still be doing this letter game by that point. So you may
we might still be in touch and you'll say reminder.
Right.
Oliver's going to college today.
Yeah. It's a big deal. The first kid you have going to college.
Yeah. Only kid.
It's such a big deal.
My other kid's dumb. And this I just made up a second kid. My other kid's a moron.
But that's a double, because the thing is, it's your first, but it's also your only. So there's no other kid. Like when I have a daughter who's a sophomore in high school, but then I have a younger son. So when she goes off, it'll be emotional and crazy, but then we still have one child left.
Yeah.
But to go from having a child to there's no child in the house anymore, that is a whole crazy part of it.
Well, yeah. Particularly with Oliver, who is, you know, we're three's company.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The three of us hang out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so like when he leaves, we're going to go from being a three-headed monster to, you know, empty nesters. And of course, as I always say, the second he leaves, I'm handed divorce papers. I mean, there's just, it's over. No.
Can I make a suggestion about that? Just to maybe forestall the inevitability of your divorce.
Yeah.
Maybe rent that room out to just find a tenant so that there is a third person around that you can bounce
Jimmy
off
Jimmy Pardo
of.
With maybe, a stranger in his house?
We know me. That ain't happening.
Well, just hire a child actor to play your son.
That's not a bad idea.
Another couple years to keep marriage alive or whatever you need.
Yeah.
Someone who's looking to, you know, come out for pilot season to say, look, you really want to get here around September, actually. That's right. That's when the
Oakwood is no longer a thing, right?
Right?
So maybe my house.
Yeah.
They come and they take over my Oakwood. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Any transient actor who's just moving to Hollywood, this will be like a nice trial project for them. Unpaid.
But I like it being a child. I don't want some 22-year-old.
Like
a
high school. Yeah.
And not in a creepy way.
Right, someone old enough to have a
not in a creepy way.
With.
I want a child to live in my home that I don't know.
Whose parents are never around.
Whose parents are not allowed to know.
That's right.
But
not creepy. Yeah. I don't need some 30-year-old coming out here, though. Yeah, I got a dream, and I'm going to rent your room.
Look.
Screw that.
What about Garen?
Nope.
Who's that?
It's
oh.
You bit him in the hallway. No, that's dude, why do you even put that in our head? Because here's what's going to happen. You know at some point he's going to get evicted.
To hear the full episode, head over to NeverNotFunny.com and subscribe to the Platinum at any level. Tiers 2 and higher get the full archives, and there's more perks to be found over at NeverNotFunny.com.